Welcome to today's telecom conference for the publication of the quarterly result of the third quarter 2009. This conference is being recorded. I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Christian. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to our presentation of the results of our TUI Group in the third quarter. Mr. Oliver Bäte is going to lead you through the figures. He's the IRO of Allianz SE. After the figures, there will be a Q&A. Mr. Bäte.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to, for the first time ever, present you the figures of Allianz. I'm also looking forward to give you good figures about Allianz quarter for the third quarter 2009. I'd like, in my presentation, start on page two. This is the highlight. Our revenue growth increased by 5.2% to the previous quarter to 22 billion euros. Our operating profit went up 23% to EUR 1.9 billion. P&C, the result was 1 billion more. Best quarter so far, but the result is still below our normal level. I'm going to talk about that later on. At Life and Health, we reached 859 million euros with high premium volumes and attractive margins. Very good results, though. Financial services doubled the operating profit to 332 million euros. The net income from continuing business increases to 143 percent to 1.3 billion euros. A very strong result. We've got a strong solvency ratio of 164%, including dividend accrual. Let me start into the quarterly results overview on page three. You can see the quarterly results on a quarterly basis after the low at the end of 2008. Meanwhile, it has come back to a continuous increase in operating profit. The net income from our continuing operations is 1.3 billion, where we are on a good level. The income is lower than the second quarter because in the previous quarter, we had extraordinary gains from the sales of investment income. Otherwise, you would see a fully positive development here. We don't have any income from any non-contract or from any discontinued activities, which we are happy for. On page four, very nice development on the equity basis. Versus the mid of the year, the equity went up 14%, basically driven by the increase of unrealized gains and losses. That means recovery of the capital market. The unrealized gains have significantly increased, which is showing its effect in the solvency ratio. On the right-hand side, that's where you see the 164%. Requirements have increased a little, and the available funds were going up by 1.3 billion euros. Now let me come to the group results, please. I'm going to answer questions about the overview. We've got a very nice revenue growth in life and financial services, as you can nicely see from page six. Total revenues in life and health was 14.6%. We've got a key figure we'd like to use for this discussion. That is the internal growth. That is trying to look at adjust by foreign exchange and acquisition, and then it's the 13.5% in internal growth, which is still a nice value. Of course, it is still characterized by the recovery of the capital markets, but also the underlying growth in the markets, which is not influenced by the capital markets, as you can see in the following. In financial services, we've got an internal growth of 14%, which is slightly below the total revenues because we have a higher influence of foreign exchange and dollars, but also in the two-digit area still. In the field of P&C, internal growth lies at -2.4%. Still, we have very soft markets in a lot of areas in continental Europe. We have a very careful underwriting policy.
And you could also consider that versus the figure that you see on the left-hand side, that it's not only foreign exchange driven, but also the structure of our crop failure business was changed in the U.S. and 300 top line changes due to that, and that's why we have this major difference between total and internal growth. If you look at the operating profit on page 7, like always, you were going to see the various business units, various topics. In life and health, we had a strong recovery, and we've got 859 million euros where we've reached the level before the crisis, which is very good. Secondly, also in asset management, we've received a very good result that is even on the level higher before the crisis, as compared to the time before the crisis. And we're going to see later on the net inflows and the ratio of the 900 below 60%, we've reached the top group position. If you look at property and casualty, the current environment of the market, and also looking at international competitors, we can talk about an acceptable performance. We're below where we are, but where we want to. But after 5 quarters with continuous decrease, now for the first time we see a positive change towards the previous quarter, and with our combined ratio, we are 97%, where we are better than the main competitors. That means we're not satisfied, but we do see a positive signal of from one quarter to quarter. If you look at the corporate segment, that is minus 258, which is a significantly negative figure, basically explained by the fact that we had a deterioration versus the previous quarter of the previous year, which has to be assessed in particular because we had a fixed effect of 100 million euros that have not repeated this year. Additionally, there are negative effects, that means the overall FX result is 120 million, which largely explains this change. And we also have less interest results, that means the interest that revenues in the holding due to the interest drop on the capital market, which is a normal trend if you want. And these short-term interest reductions have a direct result on these interest profits. On page 8, the non-operating items, as you can nicely see, there are various comments about these positions. The first utmost important part is level 1, that the realized gains and impairments of investments. This position has, of course, improved because we are acting in a better financial and market cap environment with plus 680 million. I'm not going to talk about the individual positions. On the right-hand side, you see the split up of these realized gains. We see a dramatic lower impairment on all the capital and investments, but also I'd like to mention, due to the lower debt securities position, we have less unrealized gains in equities. This position was 535 million 1 year, and this year it's around 290 million. I might draw your attention to the lower right-hand side. It's important to look as the balance of unrealized gains from equities has decreased by 300 million euros. That does not mean that the equities are the main position in this ring, and the balance on realized gains and fixed income. And this profit has changed by 5.2 from minus 3 to now positive 2.3 million, billion euros, which has a significant influence on our rating position and our capital position as a total. That means if you have this economic, an unrealized gains and losses from equities are not being considered, but economically, it is a very important development for us. The fixed income fund consolidated private equity is minus 34 plus million. Goodwill impairments, the two big participations, MAN and Selecta, which is a normal effect of assessment methods, which is normal in a difficult environment. Reorganization structure, restructuring of 60 million euros due to three components. Integration of CommInvest with 20 million, and in real estate and in also in private equity, we've got organizations of 15 million, and we've got a restructuring in Ireland and the Trump tree that is in particular difficulties, which is roughly $20 million. That explains the amount that you see there. Acquisition-related expenses, like in the previous years, is largely driven by the development of PIMCO and the profitability there. As you know, we got participation of the old management and the Bionet, and we are purchasing, and as well as out, and either they are being offered by Unity shareholders or got a call right, and that explains basically the 108 million of the 112 million that you see here. And the other 4 million basically are contributing to a smaller expenses in France. Other non-operating expenses are at 75 million. That means they've improved positively. That includes various positions of course, the consolidations. Basically, this is the position trading non-operating. That means capital market income. In this position, there is the hard-forwarded topic included, which is shown at a positive 9 million out of 22 million to be exact, and positive effects of various hedges that we've taken for strategic banking investments, and also of the investments of ICB. Then also outside private equity, we got a few amortization of goodwill, which are minus 36 million in this segment. So that means we lead at 75 million. And reclassification of tax benefits is not really important. That was the overview about non-operating items. Let me come to page 9 in your document, please, where you see the net income of 1.3 billion, which is derived from the operating profit, non-operating items as just described. Two remarks, taxes and minority interest. Our tax quarter is 24.7%. We're calculating with 30%. Why is it lower in this quarter? And within the framework of the normal fluctuation, basically because of the sale of investment, which was tax-free, that's why the tax rate is slightly lower. But it's not much of a deviation of our long-term planning, so it's still the planning the overall year with a target value of 30%. When it comes to minority interest, you see a continuous decrease, basically due to the fact that some of our subsidiaries that have minority interest show lower interest, like credit or Portugal, and that, of course, is reflected immediately in the profitability and the disbursement to these minority interests. And, of course, we're happy that we don't have anything from discontinued activities. That means we had 1.3 of net income and loss. That is a very nice value for this year. Now, let me talk about P&C on the page 11. On page 11, you can nicely see the quarterly results of the operating profit in P&C. That is why I said before, we're not happy yet, because you can nicely see that compared to the quarters of 2007 and the early quarters of 2008, that we're still below our normal level with 1.031 billion euros. But I'd like to point out that in the second quarter of 2008, we had continuous decrease in this position, which of course raised a few questions among investors. So for the first time ever, we've seen an increase in this quarter, which is due to the fact, partly a seasonal effect, as you know, in the industry, we have typically better results in August, but nevertheless, for the first time ever, we see a positive change here. If we look at the operating profit drivers on the right-hand side, please, then we differentiate the underwriting, the investment, and other influential factors. We can nicely see that the major influential factor compared to the previous quarter is the investment here. And that is closely related to the lower interest rate, and because we have a duration of in our portfolio was below 4 years, that will have a direct consequence on our current revenues. So we have a higher amount of investments in cash, and cash interest is particularly low in this current market environment. When it comes to underwriting of minus 64 million, you have to consider that basically this is a top-line effect. That means we're shrinking in a few markets still, because
the price quality that we see are there will no longer be accepted by us, and we are very careful in underwriting, as that means that there is no further decrease in the loss ratio. And that's quite important, that our measures in underwriting and claims obviously now show effects, and that's very important. That's why I would love to go to the next page, where you can see the top line developments in the various markets. Like I mentioned, you can see on the right hand side, 600 million less turnover as compared to the previous unit, 300 million of basically restructuring costs of the crop business. We're working with Wells Fargo, and that's why we had 300 million less. And this was also because of declining commodity prices. The net effect is 300 million. For the individual countries, you can see whether it's growth or going down. We are going to, wherever we see markets where we see a positive price dynamic and a positive market, we want to grow. Australia, for example, that's where we want to grow, and also United Kingdom, where we focus on the growing significantly with great margins. In other countries, as you can see, when you look at the combined ratio, where profitability is not in the scope that we like to see, we don't want to grow, for example, in Germany, in the motor business, or in Switzerland, we are still very careful with underwriting. And also in Italy, we're still quite careful and reducing there in order to protect our margins. And once we see beneficial prices in these countries, they're trying to grow. That's about to grow. What is more important is the margin, and that's why we should look at the combined ratio on page 13. The overview on the right-hand side, so we have 96.9%. That's where we communicated in Q2, so we want to go to 97 by the end of the year, and we're quite hopeful that we end up with 97 to 98 per year. Most likely, with the effects that we had in summer with hail and other storms, we will come up at the upper end, but we're moving all levers. You might believe that, and please, in order to achieve that goal, we've got a combined ratio, a loss ratio of 72.2, and a expense ratio of 26.7. That tends towards downwards, but unfortunately still above the previous year value of 26.5%. There's no reason to jubilate here, and at this point of time, to be unreasonably happy. If you look at the country split, you see our big fluxes. The figures that we are not so happy with in Germany, France, credit insurance, and also in Italy, although we have come below 100, that's where we start. I think we are now in a position in Italy that despite the high challenges with restructuring and our farming, we are below 100%, and we have a result here that we're not where we want to be in a long-term comparison. But based on our calculation, Allianz alone, we have 45% of the industry profit in P&C in Italy. That's a good value, and we hope for further trend, change of the trend, because competitors have to increase their results, premiums, their prices, because they have in credit insurance, they have strong price increase, combined ratio is 12% lower, versus 2% versus 2Q. But you see the right trend here. The areas where we still have to work hard is in Germany and in France. Programs are in the pipeline, and now we have to see that we do see results to materialize. In other countries, we've got a very nice development, and in the United Kingdom, we've got a combined ratio that is below 85%, very exceptional, and we're moving in a very nice market environment. Australia has been improved significantly, but also other countries fighting with very difficult conditions like Spain are doing very nicely, are doing very well. And even if you are critical towards Germany or towards France, if you are friendly, you might reverse this perspective and say, despite the challenges that we have in individual core markets, the combined ratio that we see and as a total for this quarter is better than in any of other of the peers, which is because of the strength of the portfolio as a total. And I think that it shows the sustainability of our portfolio.
Okay, now I would like to switch to page 14, Mr. Brockenby. we decided to, for the first time, to show you this graph, or at least two parts of this graph on page 14, which is highly technical. So let me explain this first. What you see on the diagram is a view on what we call the accident year loss ratio. So we're looking at the topic, what has happened in the last year. And on the top left, you can see that the trend above over 9 quarters of the accident year loss ratio. And for the first time, you see a reduction of this figure. So I don't want to say that the first butterfly that you know that the summer will be coming, but for the first time, I believe we can see first signs of a turn of the trend in our loss ratio. That is especially important as we are in a highly conservative corridor, as Mr. Perlitz announced, of around 2%, and in the third quarter, less or less, we're not using, we're in our corridor with 1.9% on the positive side. On the right-hand side, you can see the influence of natural catastrophes and changes compared to the previous year. And without going into any technical details here, I would like to tell you that the message that is not that positive is that we couldn't set up the loss development by raising prices. We're in a market that is coined by the behavior of our competitors, of course, and that's why we're not completely free to act. Let me now come to the expense development on page 15. This is a diagram we've shown you for years, and now for the first time we clearly show you the different, the individual administrative expenses. And for me, that is the topic of productivity is a highly important topic, but you need to have solid figures. And if we take a look at the administrative expense, the movement in administrative expense before we come to the left-hand side, there you see a column on the right-hand side which is called reclassifications and method changes, which is still significant due to the fact that we've changed our accounting in the exchange area and the expense area, so that we still have volatilities here that we want to reduce over the next few months. We have slight increases in costs in different areas, and that is something that's dissatisfying for us if we see what we've done over the last few years. But on the left-hand side, you can see that for the first time, the administrative expenses compared to the previous year's quarter was reduced by 20 million, but the acquisition expenses or distribution expenses, at least nominally, have increased, and we have to talk about the drivers that are behind this, because you would assume that by raising revenues also the distribution costs would be reduced, and that is not what we're seeing, and we have to work in this. But as far as the net increase on the cost side goes, before we get too negative, I would like to tell you a few additional elements. Mr. Diekmann last time explained that we're using the crisis to invest in our system, especially in administration, in automation, and in a better customer service, but also in our distribution system. For example, we invested in Fireman's Fund. We have a new administration system there. We're also investing in Germany, and that is explained by the bubble on top right. We see we had investments of 41 million in this quarter, containing restructuring, 12 million. And for example, in Germany, for the German pension plan, we had to pay 5 million, which weren't planned. So this can lead to significant changes, something like that. But in sum, we haven't reached the trend that we want to reach in order to reach profitable development. So far for the expense development. Let me now come to the important point of the operating investment income on page 16. You can see that the development of what we call operating investment income, that is interest and similar income, reduced by investment expenses, and this element was reduced to 811 million by 20.3% compared to the third quarter of 2008. That was mostly due to reduced interest income, part of this due to lower interest rates, and then in France we had a cash pool which we reduced and which had a nominative negative effect, and 24 million effects were from something that I just mentioned, that was the increased cash reserves in our organization due to the crisis, which of course has a direct influence on the results. And against the backdrop of the low interest rates that we've seen, we will see a recovery here, but not a strong recovery. So in our results for 20 to come, we will have to calculate a lower investment income compared to the climax we reached towards the end of 2007. So this is reflecting the general climate. So much for PC, and I would now like to come to Life Health on the pages 18 and following. On page 18, you can see the development of the operating profit in Life Health across the quarters, and we're always comparing the same quarter in the previous year, and of course, compared to this, we have a dramatic increase, because in the third quarter of last year, we were in the middle of the financial crisis, and now we're back to 860 operating profit, 860 million. So the level before crisis, even a high level as before the crisis, has been reached. Now you will ask, why is there a reduction compared to the second quarter? Well, there we had one of the effects due to evaluation changes in Hartford and sales of ICBC and other one-off effects. So compared to the previous year quarter, we have a great improvement. On the right-hand side, you can see the operating profit drivers. Most important here, of course, that's not surprising, the investment results were up by 509 million to 578 million, and now we have a positive expense result. That's a technical term. Expense result, there's administration costs for funds included and all this, but this is not a great management job here, but this is a change of the accounting structures in AZ Life and others. So unfortunately, we can't say we've done a great job here, but this is due to accounting changes. So in sum, we're of course also profiting from the positive developments in the capital market to set up the previous year. So around 100 of the 859 million are catch-up effects of losses of the previous year. That is to say, the normalized result will be at around 750 million and is therefore in the target area that we have for this business, and therefore we are highly satisfied with this. Let me come to page 19. Here we see growth in the different countries, and that's the good news, the additional good news, because in our portfolio, except for the United States, where we are reducing our market share on purpose, where we have taken products off the market, restructured them, and then brought them in August again onto the market. But apart from this and some other small portfolios, we are growing very well. I mean, Eastern Europe is still hit by the financial crisis, we have bank partners there, and we're working together with them in across the bank channel. Sometimes there we don't have the margins we're looking for, but let me put it the other way around. Everywhere where we see strong margins, we're growing, and we're growing strong across the board. And this is not only due to the investment-oriented products, as you can see on the right-hand side, but also in our classical insurance business. And even in the area of investment-oriented products, we're finding new products that make sure that due to the structure of those products, we will gain great margins. So internal great growth at 13.5% is real good. But we're not just growing, but we're also earning money, as you can see on page 20. In the way you're used to, we're dividing here between new business margins and the value of new business. So we're multiplying the cash value by the margins of the new business to get an economic view on this. That is highly conservative because stress results and other non-adjusted parts aren't included here. So we're calculating in what's called the risk-free world. Our margin of, we see a plus of 4.2, and there's one technical point I would like to explain. Part of the reduction of the margin decreases from 2.6% to 2.4% in new business is due to the change of economic parameters. What's that to say? Well, the interest reduction, the strong interest reduction we've seen of more than 100 base points over the last 8 months, is also included in the calculations. So if I compare this on a like-for-like basis, then we would be at 3.2%, so above the target value we have. Great result, especially under these difficult conditions. And that's not only in our portfolio as a whole, but in the right-hand side you can see that all our regional focus markets are in the positive results. Even the United States. In the United States, we see a positive result. In details on the next slide, you can see that we've done a highly consequent job. Oh no, we don't have this margin here. This is just part of the analyst presentation. Okay, so over the first two quarters, we had negative results, and now in some in the third quarter, we are in a positive. We've seen a positive trend, and if you have any questions to this, I will explain this to you later on. An important figure for life health is not just the margins that we're seeing, but at the end of the day, we're also living by the net inflows that we're managing for our customers, because we are participating in the interest income of these net inflows. That you can see on page 21. On the left-hand side, you see the operating asset base, which has grown quite a bit, first through market effects, of course, but also due to net inflows. On the right-hand side, you can see the different markets, and you can see positive results across the board except for Eastern Europe, where we see flat results due to the developments that I've just talked about. So in total, we have positive net inflows. And not only the net inflows are positive, but also interest in similar income has increased by 7.4%, as you can see on page 22. Just as in PSD, the operating invest income is explained in more detail here, and compared to the previous year's quarter, we have a plus of almost 80% in this area. I would like to mention in this context that this is the case in spite of significantly reduced interest, because the increase in net inflows leads to the fact that we can set off the reduced interest rates, and we have stable bonds yields, as we aren't that affected that much by interest reductions here at MPC. So impairments have been reduced, and the net result, the value for trading result, is positive compared to the past. So much for the comments on life health and its most important figures and drivers. Let me now come to the segment financial services. In the overview view on page 24, you can see that our result has almost doubled here from 167 million to 332 million euros. And not surprisingly, as you can see in the details on the right-hand side, the most important driver is asset management. In this business, we have a plus of 182 million to 368 million for the quarter, so very good result, very good development. In banking, our result is in the target corridor with 37 million. That is these are the costs for the planned Allianz Bank, so we're on plan here, and we have an accounting result here from alternative investment management of 1 million. These are residual items, and that's not really important. Now I would like to come to the most important driver in this segment, which is asset management. On page 25, you can see this in more detail. Here we have a development that is basically a doubling on a nominal basis. Internally, so adjusted for foreign exchange effects, we have almost 80% driven by net fees and then other income. We have a good result here, minus 18 million for operating expenses. That is to say, operating expenses have increased, but we have to mention that this is due above all to the fact that we had to integrate Cominvest. If we take out the integration costs for Cominvest, then we not only see a strong growth, but that we've reached the cost basis in the expense basis in this area, which is a great resource. The assets under management have grown quite a bit. Third party assets under management have grown to 880 million euros, growth of 16.4%, and we're down to 838 billion euros actually. And the increase, as you can see, was driven above all by fixed income. And now in assets under management, we have 1.15 trillion euros that are under management. On page 27, you can see our most important driver here, which is fixed income business. Great results across the board here. The performance has increased significantly compared to the previous year. As you might remember, last year we had 47%, which wasn't that good a result, and we were surprised by the insolvency of Lehman Brothers, and that was something that the gentleman of PIMCO couldn't forecast, so we're back to 79%, and we're clearly above our target of 70%, and in the operating profit, we've reached 300 million euros. So a fantastic result here in sum, and the CAGR is also great. The equity business here, it's a little bit different, the situation. After two lost quarters, you might remember first and second quarter was negative. Now we have a positive result, 15 million, but the trend, as you can see, is not as we are expected to be, and in performance, we haven't reached what we want to see. We're below 70%, but we're trying to make consequent improvements here. Also, our competitors are facing great challenges due to the volatility of the market. And in spite of the recovery of the markets, we haven't reached the net flow level we want to reach. We have higher assets under management compared to the previous year's quarter, but we still have negative net flows, and we have to change this to a positive figure. Overall, for the cost-income ratio, we're still at a great level. Okay, let me sum this up, the figures for the quarter, once again. So our revenue growth by 5.2% to 22 billion, driven above all by life, health, and financial services. Operating profit, again, a strong growth to 1.9 billion, growth of 23%. 1 billion in PC is the best quarter so far in 2009, but we're still below the normal level. We have to admit this. In life health, we achieve 859 million euros with high premium volume and an attractive margin, which is really important that we're not just growing, but that we can see good margins. And the financial services, the operating profit has been doubled to 332 million euros. Net income from continued business was raised by 143% to 1.3 billion euros. And nevertheless, we have a strong solvency ratio even after dividend accrual. And we are satisfied with the results for this quarter. Thank you very much, and now I'm looking forward to your questions. Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function of your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press asterisk 1 to ask a question. We will now have the first question by Alexander of Handelsblatt. Good morning, Mr. Bette. Good morning, Mr. Groth. Three questions. First of all, takeovers, capital increases, is that a topic for you? Second question then. Profitability improvement in P&C, how do you want to reach them? How do you want to lower costs there? Could you explain this a little bit? And then the Allianz Bank in the future, what's the priority of this topic for you right now? Because you didn't talk too much about it in the presentation. Okay, first of all, Mr. Pellet, really could shoot from the hip here, and I have to think about some of the parts of I will answer the questions I can immediately. Maybe in others I will have to come back. Now, you started with extra capital increase and acquisition. We don't have any plans for acquisitions right now, and we don't plan a capital increase at the current, at this moment in time. Of course, there are no larger transactions in the market that aren't offered to us. We have to take a look at them, but currently we don't plan to do a capital increase, and we don't need it. That's the first point. The second element, how are we dealing with profitability in PC? Well, we don't want to do any special actions and activities overnight, but we're continuing the process we've started. I was chief operating officer, and I know that we have to do fundamental changes, but we are dealing with two topics, underwriting and loss consequence and claims consequence, so we have to be better in risk selection and the protection of our good customers. That's one point. And on the other side, we have to make sure that in claims regulation we find the right balance between customer service and paying too much. And this is what we've introduced over the last few years. We have several programs going on in this area, and they are showing effects now. On the cost side, or on the expense side, I would ask you that over the last quarter, we also talked about having to invest into the future, especially in the distribution, on the distribution side, which was a little bit in the background over the last few years. And we also have to invest on the IT side, so we're trying to improve productivity on a long-term basis. Then the third point, Allianz Bank. Of course, Allianz Bank is important for us. We have 350,000 customers now, 15,000 new customers have been acquired since July 2009, so we're on the right track here, actually, and we will consequently follow the business plan that we've published. Okay, let me ask you once again, isn't that that's not the figure you want to reach for the quarter, or is it? Well, that's difficult to say for a startup bank. I mean, so far, we haven't completely paid out all the setup costs, so we're building this up. I think it's a little bit early, after one quarter after the launch of such a bank, to find out whether we're satisfied with this. I think we have to wait a little bit against the financial sector that we're seeing right now. Not too many people will switch their bank provider, and if you don't want to put in too many expenses, then that's not what we want to do. Next question, please.
This is Fleming from Börsen-Zeitung. Yes, Mr. Fleming, Börsen-Zeitung. I have three questions. First of all, forecast. Second, interest development. And then thirdly, reinsurance. About forecast, we didn't make any forecast for the current year, only for the combined ratio. We made in a little statement. Maybe you can say, if Nat Cat stay away, what you believe are the framework data going to be, and also midterms, the ergo, so they could profit target with sensitivity. Really, you have to reckon with a lower profit in Allianz in the midterm, and you talked about the cycles and how they didn't. But an influence on Allianz, maybe you can show in figures what this costs, what this means for the investment capital result. Because this will only have a rolling influence in the investment, so the interest profit. Where will it be today and the 30 and then 3 years? And also the third question about reinsurance. What is the midterm planning for Allianz? Would you basically believe that the tendency is to reduce reinsurance and to cancel certain agreements, or will the current level of reinsurance be maintained? Yes, Mr. Fleming, let me start with the first question about forecast. We haven't announced any particular forecast, and we believe it's not serious in this economic environment to say too many details about figures and that you would have to adjust later. And when it comes to combined ratio, we set so the target per annual at the year end was 97, which was made at the point where we didn't have the net cap in summer. The hailstorms, as you know, in August and July were significant over various markets, and we recommend keep going, that we need to go in this direction. No question about that. And that applies to this year. In the midterm, we don't do any forecasts. But I'd like to refer to the comments and remarks of Mr. Dietmann that he keeps making about, with regards to, on the occasion of the investor dialogues, What does it normalized profit over the various years? That means somewhere between 96 and 97 combined is what we want to aim at, and a certain investment result that he uses as a basis. And we still maintain these triggers in a normal, we believe that these triggers can be achieved in a normal environment, but we're not finding ourselves in a normal environment. The volatility of the capital market after 6 months of increases might go down again. That's why we are so careful. Secondly, we don't see any de-warning in the economic environment with regard to job losses and production. That's why we're extremely careful here. That leads me to the topic of interest development. Yes, the short-term interest profits will have dropped significantly. Then, of course, this is particularly shown in PMC, where the purchase line has a duration and an average duration of below 4 years. That's where the reduction, and you can see this in the figure, 25 basis points of lower interest results, that means that versus the other environment on a year-to-year basis, 1% percentage point is lower than the previous year. And then you can see that the 19 billion assets and then the portion of the interest carrier. So we reckon with an average of 850 million of quarterly interest result, which is a figure that we also would be maintaining for the next year. We're going to see for the time the year after the economic experts expect interest rates to increase. But we can we still have to reckon with lower interest rates. And I'm not the interest pope. And that means we're calculating very carefully with the interest result. In life, that looks completely different. In life, we have a much longer duration and a much longer investment horizons, and the possibility of adjusting our capital investment result within this parameter is better. That means we reckon also with the next the time to come for the year, for the time to come, we reckon with more stable interest unless we have a dislocation, another crisis. That's about the interest. The non-life, of course, business will be affected, and the life insurance is much more unstable. Question 3 about reinsurance. No changes are planned in our reinsurance strategy, so the net retained contributions will be maintained on that level, but we can look at one segment, I may say that. There are some weather-related losses below our reinsurance programs, which affected us significantly this year. Our reinsurance structure with regard to these losses will be have to look at again. Otherwise, the policy change remains unchanged. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Fleming. Next question, please. Our next question from Christian Kramer from Reuters. Please, Mr. Reuters. Hey, Mr. Bader. Thank you. I'd like to probe on two more things. Whether you see this differently than Mr. Pellet, what is the dividend that you would like to disperse on a percentage basis calculated from the profit? And further to forecast, Mr. Pellet was calculated at a normal operating profit with 8 billion euros in a normal year. Can this still be upheld at the moment? And when can this be achieved again? And probably one more question of further to credit insurance. Maybe you can you give me a loss of profit announcement for Ella Hammett for the third quarter? Thank you. Yeah, Mr. Kramer, thank you very much for your question. We're looking at the topic of Ella Hammett, and we're going to look it up in a second. Let me start with dividend and forecast first. I'm too much of a follower of Mr. Pellet, and I'm too much of a pupil of Mr. Pellet. That's why I'm not going to do it differently. We have an accumulation of the dividend, which is the 40% of the net income, and we uphold that. That's a good figure in the peer comparison, 1.4 billion accumulated dividend for this year, which is a nice figure. However, we also defend this from quarterly results, and because we also have to look at the capital market development. And currently, this is really volatile, and that's why our capital position can also be negative in our position. That would be not serious to have an accumulation of 1.5 and to go on with that until the year. And we have to look at that, what we're going to do with it. That means 40% of the net income would be reserved for the dividend. And at the end of the day, it's all about the supervisory board that has to make a decision based on the proposal of the CEO of the board. But we keep on going with the 40% of forecast. Well, I don't really want to make an additional forecast and based on what Mr. Pellet and Ms. Dickmann are saying is standing in a normalized environment. We are at 8 million, billion, but we're not in a normal environment. I mentioned interest, and also this year, there are significant losses that we were faced with due to the recession, a fire in France, and business distortions. And so I don't really want to make a forecast at this point for the future year. And for the current year, just stick to what Mr. Fleming has been told, and we're aiming at 9 to 7. Expectations in the market are 9 to 8. We might aim at 9 to 8, but we're working hard in order to get our goal. Further to our Euler-Hermes and operating profit in the third quarter. Operating profit was 8 billion. Particularly important for the quarter, the year's amount at minus 16 million for 9 months. And I hope for the year we might have a balanced result. That compares to 237 million for the 9 months of the previous year and 48 million for the third quarter of the year 2008. That means currently we are far below the results necessarily, but I mentioned before we see in a combined ratio versus the previous year, we see a very strong improvement. Thank you very much. 8 million for Q3 or exactly, and 9 months minus 16 exactly. Thanks very much. Next question, please. Focus Money, Marcus Fox, please. Yes, good morning. I'd like to talk on a little bit on cost income ratio in Germany. You talked about 100%, which is much lower than the previous year and better than the previous 4 quarters. Nevertheless, in the first quarter you said this was good. Was due to a few net caps, but a few losses because of ambient conditions. Why is it still 100%? I don't really understand how this result has significantly changed within 1 year, and obviously this cannot be pulled down again. And the second question I would like to mention, general question about your capital investment. What is the percentage between PP and non-life? And of course, life that is only allocated to the group, of course. Mm-hmm. Let me start with the second topic, because this can be short. The capital investments are the operating asset base that we use in the segments, right? I think we've had it in the documents, and 87 and PNC and the others. We will provide you with the figures. The assets are shared, and you can look at the asset base in the documents, but also the respective yield that will be allocated to that particular position. I can provide you this figure that is also on an analyst presentation on the web page where you can look at the development according to asset classes. For the first time, I separated between interest papers and equities and others, securities and others. And then you can also see a year running yield where you can nicely see, for example, and in non-life, the profit of 25 basis points went down versus that mean 1 percentage point calculated to the year. Further to Germany. Germany is a very important topic. If you look at that previous year, the combined ratio now increased to 100%, almost 10%. I would like to mention this. The first thing, we had 2 hailstorms in July 2009, 70 million net burden. Alone from that, which contributes to 4 points. Then due to subsequent reservations about the major losses in the last year, we had negative settlements, 2.4%. And then you need to say, since the new structure of our German business and claims management, due to various restructuring topics, is not running smoothly, and there is still 1.2 to 1.5 and 2%. And also cost effects due to investments, basically in distribution. But we have to work hard so that we can reach the profit that we want to get, and I'm sure that our executives and employees will give out their best in order to achieve this historic profitability. But the measures that you've launched, will they become effective in 1 or 2 quarters or 1 year? I believe that in the course of the next year we're going to see significant improvements. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Perlman.
The next question comes from Oliver Smith, Bloomberg.
Yes, good morning.
I'd like to come back to the total forecast. And only 7 weeks left until the end of the year. Why are you so careful in this respect with regard to the focus of the overall year? Do you see or do you fear any risks, any remaining risks approaching the capital market? Second question, when it comes to special effects, if I got it right before, I know that 92 million euros came from Hartford this quarter. And what about the Commerzbank reduction share? I didn't hear anything of that. Does that mean that was after the end of the quarter? Just then, share. And the last point, credit insurance. For what time do you expect Berkshire to achieve a recovery of the combined ratio below 100% the next quarter? Or will it be taking a bit longer? Thank you. All right, Mr. Six. Let me start with the credit insurance. This is a separately listed company. I don't want to make a focus for a separately listed company. We can't do this. Secondly, there are too many economic uncertainties, for example, in Eastern Europe, and it wouldn't be serious to do this precisely. But we reckon with a continuous improvement until when we're going to reach 100% combined and when everything becomes stable, we still have to wait. Well, I will make a statement separately. Well, when it comes to outlook, yes, of course, only a few years away until the end of the year, but you see the enormous volatility in the share markets and the equity market, security market. It went down to 3 to 4 points per second. The autumn storms, all kinds of influential factors that might hit us on the loss side. There are going to be major losses that there will be a multiplication of major losses and beyond 5 million, which have an effect. That's why, please understand, currently in this situation, we don't want to make an outlook and rather surprise you with positive results, hopefully. Hartford, to mention that, Hartford investment has developed very nicely. The warrants that they maintain there have to be valued and have to be written up. We're pursuing a very conservative valuation policy in order to take out the volatility. I don't want to come back to that and adjust it downwards in the following quarter. That's why we are in line with the auditors to be very conservative. And that is done. One determinating will it be assumed volatility that you assume for the security driving the valuation, and that's why on the conservative side we are playing first with 93 million with the absolute lower end of what we can take into the balance sheet. It's not material for our final result. Just for Commerzbank. Realized gain for Commerzbank in Q3 was at 120 million, and as you know, we're still maintaining 10% stake in Commerzbank, and we want to maintain that.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Ulrike Bella of Belgium.
Good morning, gentlemen.
I have a question on M&A. I would like to hear something more specific. There are more subsidiaries coming onto the market due to European regulations. How are you looking at these? Is there something that could be interesting price-wise? Are you maybe in negotiations and talks, or what can you say about this? Okay, I understand your question, but none of these transactions are under intensive control. I would like to put it, of course, these opportunities are mentioned and we discuss them and they are brought to us, but we don't plan any specific transactions right now. Okay, thank you very much. Next question, please. The next question will be by Sebastian Just by Die Welt. Good morning, gentlemen. I have two follow-ups. First of all, on Allianz Bank. Could you give us a forecast on when you will be expecting positive results there, and then on Commerzbank? Why have you reduced the your share there. Was this against the market backdrop where you expect a certain correction in the market, or what's the strategic planning behind this? And then a question on PC. You haven't reached the normal level, but so I ask myself, where is the normal level? Is it the pre-crisis level as in the other areas, or do you have to accept due to the interest rate development that the normal level will be below what you've seen in 2006, 2007 maybe? And then on the stock ratio, could you give us a figure what you expect or what you've reached in your capital investment as far as the stock ratio or equity ratio goes, and if you want to come back to pre-crisis level, or if you will have a more conservative behavior there? Okay, thank you very much, Lucio, for these great questions. First of all, the stock ratio, we don't have a forecast for this. We have a process that develops a strategic asset allocation, which is based on the overall economic situation, but also on the business mix that we are using and the outlook that we have across different asset classes. So I can tell you that the ratio is 3% and 8% in life, health, or PC or whatever. That's completely different. You can have a different ratio in Allianz Germany than in other countries. So there is no one figure that we have, and it really depends on the economic situation and on the alternative investments that are available. So I can't give you any specific figures. Highly interesting question then on PC. We have several effects at one time. First of all, one effect is the normal cycle that you see in P&C. After 2002, which was the low point, we had several years of strongly increasing prices and profitability. I think we reached the climax in 2006, and in the underlying numbers at the time, we had significant deterioration. But now the valley, and for such a cycle takes 6 to 7 years, the valley, we haven't passed it completely. So the cycle is developing differently in the different markets. That is to say that the cycle has turned positive in the United Kingdom, for example, 2 years ago, or in Australia last year. But in other markets, it's still negative and even deteriorating against the negative background, for example, in Ireland or Spain. If new business is reduced there, then of course the competitors will have a severe competition for the existing business, and that will continue for some time. And what's the reason? Low interest rates and low income rates lead to the fact that people will look at whether prices have to be increased, and if there is no longer any excess capital available, as I think is the case in Italy, then the prices will have to be reached. The Italian regulators have asked several competitors to raise prices and to increase capital, which will then have a positive effect on market profitability. And then the last influence factor is in how far the insurance without external investors are, because they can use something like this for cross-subsidizing as long as they still have any capital, which leads to the fact that in areas where insurances like these are strong, in France or in Germany, for example, the prices will remain lower for a longer time. So that's the generic answer, first of all. These are the main drivers. But then, in addition to this, we have the financial crisis, the economic crisis, which led to a strong reduction in PC, especially motor business. That leads to an increase of competition, because the insurance companies are trying to gain the remaining new business that is existing. And then in corporate insurance, a significant part of our turnover are related to the turnover of our customers. They are paying a premium that is proportional to their own income. And part of this is only calculated towards the end of the year. So reductions in turnover lead to reductions for our corporate insurance business. That is one of the reasons why we don't want to offer a forecast, but because only by seeing how the crisis develops, we can see what an effect that this will have. And then in the recession, we also see increase in claims, for example, through hot some renovations of companies, as I might call it, and we have to take a close look at the things like this. And then there is certain volatility and certain uncertainty in the forecast of the claims that will come up, and therefore we say profitability is below what we've seen in the years 2007 and 2008, which were the high points. Therefore, this long answer, but I think it was a highly important question. Nevertheless, FIS, we believe that we can be better across the cycle. First of all, because historically we've always been strong in underwriting and PC, and then we have a global portfolio which is highly balanced and profitable. The highly profitable markets play an even bigger role in our overall portfolio. So, once again, this what I mentioned before, in spite of the challenges we have in France and Germany especially, and in credit insurance, we're nevertheless able to reach a combined ratio of below 97, which wouldn't be possible without these strong markets.
Okay, thank you for that. But could you, in comparison to the 8 billion operating profit, what would be the normal level for PC, then the normal results, the normal level?
Well, I don't want to give you a single figure, but the figures that Mr. Siegmann and Mr. Perlitt gave you in Q2, I will stand by them. This will depend on the combined ratio that we will reach. Every point is 400 million approximately, so if we reach 96, this would be 1.6 billion, with 98, then it's only 800 million. So we have difference per point of 400 million, and then we have an interest result which is also as volatile as the interest rates. We have huge amounts under assets under management, and if we have 4% interest, then we will get a certain amount, and if we have 3%, then we will get a lower result. I mean, I don't want to give you any specific forecast for the next year at this point. Okay, then on the topic of Commerzbank and Allianz Bank. Let me start with Allianz Bank. Break even, as we announced, an operating profit was planned for 2013, so that is to say in 3 years' time, according to our original plan, but I don't have any signals that the bank might not reach it. If that was the case, of course, we would publish it. And on the topic of Commerzbank, we've always said that we have to look at the exposure towards Commerzbank in total, so not just looking at the stocks we have in Commerzbank, we also have a dormant share there and other securities. So our overall exposure, we want to reduce the overall exposure, that's why we reduced our stocks in Commerzbank, but nevertheless it's an important strategic share that we have there in our partnership, and that's why we're at over 10% that we're holding right now. Okay, next question please. The next question will be by Herbert Fromme of Financial Times. Mr. Becker, you said that we have fundamental changes in our structures to perform. I thought you had done this. Or will there be a new wave? Are there any plans across the group or in Germany? And I don't understand your policy in PC in Germany. You said that you have to slow down in Germany due to the difficult margin development, the price development, but you have to select the underwriting there. But you could also say that others gain market share there. And I don't understand the policy in Germany, the difference in policy in France and Germany. In France, obviously, you have to increase. But not in volume, and in Germany the situation was different. I don't understand why you said you reduced on purpose in the United States. The way I understood was that the U.S. regulators, that you had to reduce due to U.S. regulators in variable annuities, and then the changes in do you think that there is an advantage? I think you're referring to EFRS 9, right? Yes. Okay, let me go through this point by point. So, PC Germany strategy. then we'll come and compare it to the France, and then what about reduction in United States and FRS?
Okay, Mr. Brown, you started with the question on the massive changes. I think this has to be a misunderstanding. What I said is we have to continue in our restructuring as we started a few years ago, and then my second point was we haven't finalized the process. So, for example, our IT systems, we're continuing the restructuring there. Last year, for the first time, we had a first portal across all areas of Germany, but that isn't the end point. We're creating a unified IT platform for our different segments. This is a process that will continue for years to come. This is something we have to go through consequently, and this must have been a misunderstanding. There are no new programs. We're just continuing what we've started in the past. Second point, you refer to the strategy differences between Germany and France. I can't see any differences there. I mean, in Germany, for example, we're leaving business segments aside or restructuring them where we see that there are problems. In Germany, for example, fleet cars, the portfolios were canceled. Then in distribution incentives, we had a consequent approach. So certain unprofitable segments, for example, large fleets, haven't been intensified in our distribution plans, and this is what we're doing in Germany as well as in France. Of course, it is necessary to differentiate between the different markets. We have different position, we have different distribution system in France than in Germany, and that's why we're tailoring the price. The prices we set due to the different markets. The different markets allow different price increases. In France, for example, there have been many large claims in corporate insurance, and therefore we have to react with the prices. We also have major claims in Germany, but they haven't been significant, but by far been less significant than in France, and that is why the prices have been raised in France, but not only with Allianz, but all competitors have been increased prices in corporate insurance. So I don't see any strategy differences here between Germany and France. Then the variable annuities business. You said the regulators have told us we have to withdraw our product from the market. No, I think there are two points that were mixed up here. Due to the fixed index annuity products, not the variable annuity product, the fixed annuity product, there were some regulatory problems which led to different court cases. Whether was the question, did you give wrong advice to customers based on this product, which is usually a problem of the distribution channel in the United States, where the producers have to make sure what they present to the customers. But there we were asked 2.5 years ago by the regulators to change our programs, and we set up a suitability process which is top as far as the industry goes, where many of the regulators give us praise for our process that we have there. And that's one part. The variable annuities, that's a different part. Thank God for us, maybe based on the wrong reasons, but thank God that's not that much of a problem for us as for many of our competitors, because this is made up less than 1/3 of our U.S. business, less than 20 billion assets under management, and the market in general had a highly unprofitable setup when it comes to the different products. So in the crisis, we realized that that there were too many options for the customer to turn the means to guarantee them the financial means or to turn them into fixed income. That this sort of offer that costs that were better. Premiums that were too low, and that is why we withdrew the products from this market and reduced growth to zero. And now in August we introduced a new product which is much more profitable than it used to be in the past, and the interests of customers and shareholders are balanced much better here. The distribution costs were also reduced, by the way, which are significantly in this product area to make sure
so that the profitability could be increased. So 2 points, one regulatory that was fixed income, and in variable annuities that was about creating a more profitable product. And then we're also glad about the development in this, on the legal side, the largest class action suit in the United States was Minkins, and I've grown up in the United States, and it's never been the case before. We not only won this court case, it was also decided that there were no financial damage for the customers and we didn't have to pay anything. There is an appeal going on, and significant lawyer costs are in question here, but there was no judgment against Allianz, and we can hide behind the satisfied with the outcome there. Then the FRS standard, we're not satisfied with this FRS standard, but there are a few positive points that the mixed model can be continued, that's positive. Then it's also positive that IBs are the business model will play a role, and it's important that there was a movement. The negative point, well, this new standard IFRS 9 here, you have to value stocks. The way you have to evaluate stocks here are problematic because this would lead to a strong volatility in your results, or you can also reflect this through shareholders' capital, but then only dividends can go through this, which leads to major problems, especially in health insurance, because then we would have difficulties to take into account the realized gains for our customers. That's why we're not satisfied with the solution that was found here, and I think that's highly important. Another point that's important, if this would be changed, we would run into a structural disadvantage compared to banks, because banks are evaluating at book value under this, and we would have to take it into our balance sheets under market value. So changes in credit spreads would affect our result, and banks wouldn't be affected. They could even post gains there. So that doesn't fit. So I think we need to be on one level with the banks, and we will try to do our utmost to change this. Okay, Mr. Frommer, you have 4 questions. Do you want to add something? Yeah, in motor business in Germany, based on your profit-oriented business, you might become number 2 in the market behind Coburg. Would that be negative? That wouldn't put you off? No, not at all. It would be great if we were a profitability market leader. That would be great. The problem is whenever I post losses in a segment, someone will have to pay for this, not just shareholders, but also customers in other areas. So we want to get away from the fact that we're just counting premiums. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. The next question will be by Ingrid Hirn of Wirtschaftswoche. Good morning, Mr. Bethe. I have 3 questions. First of all, I would like to know in which direction health insurance business will develop. Will this be just an annex of health insurance, or are you planning something more ambitious, because they're the competitor if you created an own segment through this, and will there also be internationalization maybe of the business model, and will it continue that your cooperating with statutory health insurance, as is the case in Germany, and what's the development there? And then I also would like to know how your real estate share in the asset portfolio would change. There are statements that in insurance business this could increase in the future. This is also the case with Allianz. And then I would like to know whether there are any European plans for the direct insurance business.
Mr. Bettis, repeating the question. Well, insurance, health insurance, principally, we don't not only do this in Germany, but we do this in selected markets worldwide. We're the leading private health insurance provider in Russia, people don't know, pursuing very successful strategy, very profitable. We got a market-specific approach. I'm not sure whether due to the heterogeneity, international standardized models make sense. Of course, we look at best practice and doctor management and office management and hospital management, but don't have a standardized model. We don't want that. Anyway, we are very selective. We take a close look in health insurance. You can do things wrong very easily, especially if government is envisaging customers and shareholders. We not only want to grow, but also want to make good products for customers sustainably. We look at each country. In France, for example, if that is doing fine, Russia is doing fine where we're earning money. And in other markets, we look at the strategy with regard to major changes. You mentioned Germany. We do believe in a stronger interlinking between public and private insurance. And that's why we still cooperate with KKH. That would be a new alignment, but health is still an important topic, not only in terms of full insurance, but also we're offering services around health. We've got base medical centers in all Russia that we offer to our clients in Russia, not only when it comes to settlements, but also to and reimbursements, but also to the medical services we offer to our clients in Russia, but only where it makes sense when it comes to real estate. The share of real estate is currently at 4% in the overall portfolio. We used to say that by 2013, we want to lift up to 6%. That means from 17.4 billion to 30 billion euros. We want to move away from operating and managing this portfolio. We want to see this rather from an investor standpoint, and we want to be stronger in global diversification. That means not only Germany, but also other countries. Returns should be adjusted by the exchange rate fluctuation, which is a quite non-dangerous business. When it comes to direct strategy, direct business is quite interesting because it is always equalized with selling motor insurance through the internet or telephone. We have other channels which work classically without intermediate agents. It's one of the four different ways in order to listen to us, the customers. Secondly, Alsecure summarize various countries, and we go on with that, where we expand our customer base on a continuous basis. In 10 countries, we have more than 10 million customers. We're also growing in two-digit numbers in direct business, although it's not. There's also a caveat that is against common wisdom. We're not growing by any rate, at any rate, in direct, although people might find it right. Direct insurance always a growth, and we talked about the spine cycle before. When the market achieves the price increases, then customers both change into direct, and also the direct channel being profitable. The last 3 years were completely different. Many direct markets grew in the past 3 years, but with enormous losses. We want to grow, but only if we can make good money there. We don't want to grow for the sake of growth. May I ask an additional question about direct? Of course. So if more products would be added to portfolio, because it's not only should not only seen together with our motor insurance, we also provide private third-party liability with testing risk life insurance, and buying behaviors are quite different. There are countries where people don't buy direct through the government. Financial services are purely a financial risk life insurance and positive examples. But we want to make money at the end of the day. There are lots of direct insurers who are writing business where we now that this will not be profitable. That's why we want to make money. That's what it's all about. Thank you. Our next question from Stefan Weyer from DPI Apex. Mr. Weyer? Good morning. Stefan Weyer, I've got a question further to the outlook. You said, Mr. Baird, that it would not be serious to make any forecast in the current market condition. Well, if I look at Munich Re and Hannover Re, they are quite serious as well, but they have concrete profit forecasts. Why is it not possible for Allianz? Why do they do that? Do they have a different announcement policy? And the second question is very general about revenues. The presentation says in the press release that 5.2% plus, but if you calculate it, 4.3, which are included in the table of spread in the table. Is this adjusted by currency exchanges, or where do you see the difference? Exactly, that is the difference between, let me start with the normal and between the difference of nominal and internal. We got exchange rate adjusted and consolidated. We consolidated our Turkish company for the first time. Further to forecast, I cannot talk for other topics, Mr. Weiser, other companies, Mr. Weiser. We can only talk about this. And we are facing this uncertainty about the uncertainty in the market. It's still significant. Probably, you mentioned reinsurance. Maybe the results are stable because Munich Re adjusted their midterm outlook. Now, everyone has to say sort of that, and it rather not say anything and correct it later on. Next question. Our next question. Heike Jabach from Tagesspiegel. Good morning, Mr. Peter. Two questions. Life insurance, now the surplus participation, what will it be like in the light of the volatile market? You talked about problems in loss management. What do you want to do with it? Yeah, when it comes to surplus participation, I cannot say anything about that, I'm sorry. Allianz life insurance, maybe your question related to life insurance in Germany, there are other countries as well. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the day, it'll be determined on the basis of what we have earned by them and what we need in the market in order to show Allianz in a good picture. Allianz in the industry will still be solid in the industry. I don't want to say more, but we want to make sure that our customers participate in our results, same time not endangering our solidity. When it comes to claims management, due to the restructuring in Germany and due to the massive reduction of employees in operating results of 30% less employees than we had 3 years ago, we have significant training needs for the training of the employees. Employees have to change from using physical lost files to electronic files. Not only the new technology, but there were also fundamentally methods. Give you a simple example. If you had a firm, if you complete a file, then you have to call it in the system and you have to press the button close again. And we found that it used to be done automatically. Once the paper were piling up on the desk, then the person looked at the file and in order to close it, in order to reduce that file. This is no longer happening. Now we've included the functionality that the clerk is being reminded to open, to close open files, and that sounds like a trivial example, but it is, but these are massive changes in the way of our employees and how they work. And that has implications for regulations and costs. If files remain there, then probably you spend more money in regulation and settlement where it's not necessary. That's just one example out of the many. These are examples that we are now tackling with, and I think we're in a good way. I'd like to ask one more question. Yeah? But I also believe that you don't mean that that you want to reduce some of the core reforms. You're saying, no, the opposite is the case. Are we going to go on with our reforms? We need to consequently invest in our training of our employees, not only providing new technology, we do that, but also we have to make sure to utilize them. and not only to regulate better, but also to provide better customer service. I mentioned that. One is regulation, deregulation, and but also that the regulation speed and settlement speed has to go up as well. Thank you. Next question. Our question is from Christina Schulte from DPN. Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to probe on, you mentioned there's no new program with regard to restructuring, and I believe that's related to the employees figure that came some time ago. You could read that there are certain distribution changes. 1,100 employees would be concerned, and most of them being freelancers. Maybe you can say something about that, to what extent, how far negotiations have gone. And my second question is, with regard to the problems of two major Swiss banks, RSB and RBS and Lloyds Group, there were speculations that that the branch offices to be sold, so should be 900, then probably you might have an interest in that. Maybe you can say something about that, or would you not consider that anyway after the problems have been seen with Treasnerbank? Let me talk about the second question. That's what I mentioned before. Yeah, we have all kinds of ideas that come up here, and it's not new, but we don't have any concrete option that we intensively check and say, well, we just want to go for it. This is not on the agenda at the moment. Further to distribution, changes in distribution structure, like we do it internally, what do we want? We want to grow stronger in the print distribution, and we want to secure the economic future of our agency and also the personal-related insurance operations. We need a lot of expertise in the insurance and in the agency. We need additional experts like we used to, we didn't have it in the past. So we want to offer them inside the agencies rather than taking external. Beyond that, what else is coming up? Further changes and the way they are announced. The separated personnel and asset in expense, and it makes no sense because there is a provision and investment expense. To have an integrated quality advice for the customers, and not only related to products. We want to make sure that the organization of the brokers and distribution will be revised with using an underlying model. These are the major changes that we're planning in distribution. And you also asked the headcount and reduction of jobs. And you cannot always forecast that. And we only said that this is would be 900 full employment, but we want to reduce down to 4,800 as a total. That is the main figure that is up there, and we're saying that. And by the end of 2009, we're going to achieve this job reduction target. These were two questions. Thank you very much. So one more question, please. Thank you. We had a follow-up question from Christian Kramer from Reuters. Thank you very much. Yeah, just a very short question. Something that has not been mentioned yet, not the acquisition, but maybe you want to sell something. Can you say what you plan with MAN Roland? And can you say what the company did in the third quarter? Yeah, Mr. Kramer, you know that as well. Well, we don't do any announcements about disinvestments. Even if it was important, it would be stupid to do that. And it's not possible either. And also, the single profitable of consolidated private equity holdings, I can't even say, even if I wanted. Thanks for your understanding. But on the disinvestment part, let me summarize that. We don't have any concrete safe intentions. All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your interest. And we'll say goodbye and wish you a nice week. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your interest and for listening and for your patience. Thank you. Today's conference has ended. Thank you very much for participating and wish you a nice day. Thank you.